Man, I don't know about you. I want to be, when I grow up, I want to be Brent Lamb. But I'll tell you what, I will never be Brent Lamb. You know why? Well, I'm never going to grow up. I am so grateful for you guys this weekend. It has been an honor and a privilege to be here and to watch the work that God has done and to be ministered to by all of you. Man, the talks that we've had in line for omelets, for coffee, sitting on benches, whatever it is, how you guys have just shared your stories, and man, God has ministered to me this weekend through you, and so I want to say thank you. Thank you for that so much. Yeah, I get to leave changed, more like Jesus. So we are going to talk about thankfulness and gratitude this morning. Because I thought, you know, boy, Sunday morning worship, nothing leads to worship more than thankfulness. So there's a group of people that I am very thankful for, and those are your pastors. Do we have pastors here this morning? Anybody here, pastor? Raise your hand, you're a pastor. All right, so here's what I like to do. I know you guys love your pastors, but sometimes we don't realize what they're carrying. And what they enter into, when they enter into your joy with you, they also enter into our pain and our suffering with us, and they carry that with them. They intercede on our behalf, and they go to battle and put themselves in harm's way spiritually for us, to protect us, and they shepherd us. And God has called them to such a great call. But it is not easy, and it is hard. And they do it every day, 24 hours a day, for us. Because they're faithful, and they want to see God's people grow and come to know Him. That's the heart of a pastor, is the gospel. And so I think it'd be appropriate if we pray for them this morning. You guys want to do that?
Yeah.
All right. So if you're a pastor, stand up. And everybody else around, stand up and let's place some hands on their shoulders. Gather around these guys. And then if you can't reach a pastor, put your hand on the shoulder of a guy who is reaching the pastor. Make a chain. Let's surround these guys. They intercede on our behalf every day. So let's intercede on their behalf. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we are grateful and thankful for these men that you have called to be pastors, to be overseers, to be leaders in your church. They work so many hours, relentless, tenacious, and they're giving out of abundant, flowing, overflowing cups to us freely, without hesitation. That when we're in need, they're there, whether it's 3 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon. They go off and they find time alone with you, and they still have us in their heart and their mind. They love us unconditionally. They're out to protect us, to see us grow, to see us become more like you. And the gospel is always on their lips. It's always in their hearts. We thank you for these men. Thank you for their wives. Could not do it without them. Who is their support, their counsel. Thank you so much, God. So we pray for protection over these men. We pray for protection over their hearts, their spirits. That they would not lose a battle. That they would not fall. As they go into battle every day, they would arm up with the armor of God that you've given us. Protect their health. Protect their homes, their families. God, we lift them up to you today. And we are so grateful for them. So grateful for them. Lord, even put it in our hearts. Put it in our minds and our thoughts how we can serve them. Without them even asking, God, guide us. Where we can show up and serve them. Lord, we love these men. Thank you. We love and trust you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, now take them and put them on your shoulders. I'm just kidding. Yeah, throw some Gatorade on the... You guys should do that after every sermon, right? Just Gatorade. Unless your pastor's a Niners fan, he's not used to that happening, right? Oh, I'm so sorry. Some things you don't tend to say out loud, and then you do, right? All right. You know, we should never, ever speak ill of our mamas, should we? So God forgive me. I love my mom with all my heart. She's 82 years old. She's a godly woman. She loves the Lord. There's one thing that I learned about my mama after I moved out of the house, after I started eating other people's cooking. I learned that just how not a chef my mom was. She knows this. Now, she made some things that I really liked, that she would hit out of the park, home run every time. And those two things were chicken and dumplings and bacon gravy over biscuits. Man, hold on, I have to. Okay, sorry, I'm back with you now. Man, I drifted there for a minute. Man, bacon, who makes bacon gravy instead of sausage, yeah? Yeah, you guys, I'm going to see you in heaven. Probably because of the gravy, I might see you sooner than the rest of the guys. But she did those things well. But there are some other things that she didn't do so well. Like one is my whole life, I hated pumpkin pie. Hated it. Couldn't stand it. At Thanksgiving, my mom would make sure there's an apple pie for me, which, by the way, you know what my favorite pie is? The round ones, right? And I just love pie, but I hate pumpkin pie. But apple is my favorite pie. And so then I start dating my wife, and then we get further into our relationship to where she invites me over on Thanksgiving to have the morning, first part of Thanksgiving with her family, and then we go with mine. So I'm sitting there, and then I start hearing dun-it, 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 you know, like Jaws. And here comes her mom with a plate with a piece of pumpkin pie on it. I start sweating because I know she's going to offer this to me. And she says, "Here you go, Brian." Well, hopefully that was going to be my future mother-in-law, and I don't want to insult her, so I'm going to eat the pie, right? So I eat that pie, and you know what I found out? I love pumpkin pie. I just hate my mom's. Yeah. I like fish. Anybody here like fish? Seafood guys? Yeah. My buddy Scott Holman, man, if you know him, he loves fish. That guy. I love fish. My mom, she would always buy red snapper, and she would buy it, and then she'd cook it, and then she'd cook it. And then she'd cook it. And she'd cook it. And when she was done cooking it, she cooked it some more. So much that it was preserved for all eternity. And it was red snapper jerky. And it was pretty bad. And I'd struggle to eat it. And my mom would always say, "Man, you should be thankful for that fish. There's starving kids in the world." And I would usually answer with, "They should be the ones that are thankful because they don't have to eat this fish." Thankfulness. We set aside a day once a year when we call it Thanksgiving. We give thanks. But Thanksgiving, it's not a token or a quaint sentiment. It's a lifestyle that God has commanded us to live. Thanksgiving is being thankful is and should be the response to the circumstances of our life. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us this. "See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything." Whew, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You see, the command to be thankful all throughout Scripture, it's not just here, it's riddled throughout. And why is thankfulness so important? It's important for so many reasons. If we really take a good look at ourselves, especially here in America, all of us, I think, on some level, we have a sense of entitlement. Just a little bit. Some people might say, "Wait, I don't feel entitled." But I think on some level we do. I live in a town, it's a nice town, we love our community, but it's all mostly middle class, upper middle class. There's a lot of finances in our town. A lot of people have resources in our town. And I can fall into this rut real easily of not being content. Because I look at all my friends and they have nicer homes. They've got camping trailers and boats and cabins and whatever. And those things aren't wrong to have. I'm super glad they're blessed with them. But I'm like, "Man, I work as hard as they do. How come I don't have that stuff?" When I'm lacking in thankfulness, man, my sense of entitlement increases. Like, I deserve to have that too. I become less content with what I have. But here's the reality. What God has blessed me with, what he has given me to steward, is of no less value than what he's given to them. As I steward these things, as I'm thankful for my home and where I live, then what happens is my heart is softened. And I look at the opportunities that I've had in my neighborhood to minister, to witness, to be ministered to by my neighbors. And I could not have done this with these people if I wasn't living in that neighborhood. I think of people throughout the 22 years we've lived there. I think of Joyce. I think of the Ugaldis, Jaime and his family and his boys across the street. Madi, a single mom. Renee, Rick, Billy, the Duartes, the Gomez family. The Duartes are a sweet couple. They live right next door to us. We share a fence. They're the only family that's ever lived there, so we've been with them our whole time living there. And they don't speak any English, and I speak very little Spanish. But we just love on each other. Every morning I walk out to go to my truck, and he's out messing with his flowers, and I tell him, hello, I tell him, one of the only sentences I know how to say in Spanish is, good morning, how you doing? So every morning I walk past Mr. Duarte, and I'm like, yo tengo cara de chango, you know. My dad taught me that when I was a kid. That means, good morning, how you doing, right? Something I should know? No? All right. All right. It means I have the face of a monkey, I found out after my dad taught me that. True story. But they would, I remember the first year we had Mother's Day there, I opened the front door, and Mrs. Duarte is standing there with a platter full of barbecued steaks they just made. And she goes, you like? I probably shouldn't have kissed her in the mouth, you know, but man, my favorite person in the world ever since. But I look back and I'm like, how dare me not being content and really wanting something else that God provided. I would have missed out on all these relationships. So much to be thankful for. My wife, when we had our babies, decided she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. Our little house allowed her to stay home. Allowed us to be able to afford it. It's ridiculous when I stop being thankful for how quickly my heart sinks back into why don't we? Why don't I have? It's ridiculous how fast that can happen. And the reality is, man, if you make over like $30,000 globally, you're in the 1% of the world. I've got a trip to Costco in my freezer. And there's people out there looking for food for that day for their family in this world. And even they have much to be thankful for. So when we're thankful, it keeps our hearts aligned with God's. It keeps us aligned with God's providing and blessings in our life. And everything comes from him. 1 Chronicles 29:12 through 14 says, riches and honor come from you, and you are the ruler of everything. Power and might are in your hand, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we give thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? For everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Everything we have, God has given to us. So who am I not to be thankful for God's blessings in my life? And I'll tell you this, without gratitude to God for what we own, how much money is in our bank account, the car that we drive, the house that we live in, the clothes on our back, without gratitude, it will never, ever be enough. And we will always, always want more. Gratitude is and should be the mark of a Christian. People should be able to identify us as followers of Jesus because of our thankfulness that we have in all circumstances in our life. Romans 1:21 says, For though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became worthless and their senseless hearts were darkened. And that's what lack of gratitude does. Without it, it doesn't take long for our hearts to darken. For us to harden our hearts to God. Start thinking that we're doing it all on our own again. So thankfulness keeps our hearts soft and open to the things of the Lord. And when I start feeling grumpy and unsatisfied, you know what I've gotten in the habit of doing? I sit down with my journal, and I just start writing everything I'm thankful for. And I can't believe it, man. Pages flow. And I look back and go, how easily did that come? Because in reality, when I feel grumpy and unsatisfied, that's just my emotions that are betraying me. But the truth is, when I write that down, I have lots to be thankful for. And we all do, every one of us in this room. So as fast as my heart can harden, even quicker can my heart soften as we once again are aligned with God through recognizing and giving him glory and being so thankful for what he gives us, what he does for us. Now, Paul, he's written many letters to the church. And in Corinthians, he wrote, I thank God for you. So we're to be grateful for the people in our lives. And if you're grateful for the people, anybody here grateful for the people that are in your life? Here's a good idea, if you don't already. Tell them. Tell them I'm grateful for you. Because that, man, that builds relational health right there. But it also glorifies God. I am so thankful for you and what you've done for me. Man, Brent, I'm so thankful for that $500 you're going to give me. Thank you, brother. Yeah? See? God be glorified. Amen. Let them know. One person that I'm extremely grateful for is my wife. She's my mate. Sorry, single guys, I sound like I'm bragging. She's my companion. She's my best friend. She's my nurse. She's my counselor. Sad to say, she's been my scapegoat. You guys ever use your wife that way, as a scapegoat? Yeah, dude, I'd really love to do that. Let me check with my wife. 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000. Yeah, she says we're busy. We can't go. All right, then, thanks. You've all done it. She yells at me every time I do. Now people just go to her and say, hey, can Brian come out and play? She has chosen to love me more than she loves anyone else on this planet. And I'll tell you what, it was a choice. Every morning she wakes up and chooses that. And I don't know why, but I am grateful. I'm grateful. Listen, it's easy to take for granted the ones that we're most thankful for, isn't it? So let's be better men. Let's be better than that. And tell them every day, God has blessed me through you. Thank you so much. So here's a hard one. James 1, 2 and 3. Consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Boys, there it is. We've already read that we're to be thankful in all things. And here Scripture teaches us to consider it great joy when we have trials and hard times. That's super easy, right? Isn't that super easy? Man, this is great joy. It's so hard and it's so upside down from what the world knows, those who don't follow Jesus. Because when trials and hard times come for us, we're never without hope. But they always turn, because we turn to God, and they turn to themselves, and they get fear. Now, as Brent already said, it's inevitable that bad things and hard things are going to happen. We can't escape it. But we should, as followers of Jesus, respond differently than the world does to hardship because of the hope of Jesus. We have faith, and our faith is based on it's not this blind faith, but it's on fact and evidence that God is who he says he is. And we sit there and say, okay, Brian, I get that. But thankful for what my wife is going through, thankful for cancer, thankful for losing a job and now I have to go bankrupt, going to lose my house. Be thankful for whatever's popping into your head right now, what you're thinking about. So it's not necessarily being thankful for that thing. Sometimes people are. They're like, man, I'm thankful that God did that to me or allowed that to happen. Is what they would say. Because I wouldn't be who I am today. I would have ended up in prison or somewhere else. But it's hard to say, man, I'm thankful that that happened to my wife. But it's not necessarily that. It's thankful for the things that God in and around that thing. Business people, you might be a business person here today. They're always looking for what? Their ROI, right? Return on investment. They'll always get a return on their investment. Every time, a good business person will not walk away from something and not get a return. So when they invest in something and it fails, they're not going to get any money out of it. What's their ROI? What's their return on investment? It's what they learned from that situation. They're going to analyze it. They're going to look at what happened, and they're going to know, okay, better for next time. God is the best businessman there ever was. He always gets an ROI, a return on the bad, on the hard things, on the tragic things. Genesis 50:20, you planned evil, this is Joseph, you planned evil against me. God planned it for good to bring about the present result, the survival of many people. So Joseph, if you don't know the story, man, he was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. And Joseph, you know, he had it coming a little bit. He was a little bit of a, you know, he was a little bit of a twerp about it sometimes. But they had it, being daddy's favorite, and they stripped him of everything, threw him in a pit, and then they sold him into slavery. Well, God used that, and he got favor and became a leader, and he was able to save lots of people from famine. There's a saying that people say all the time. I hear people say this all the time. Everything happens for a reason. And a lot of people that say that around me, they're not even believers. But they say, you know, I trust that everything happens for a reason. Well, everything does happen for a reason. Like, if you're in a car accident's happened because we got imperfect people driving 85 miles around down the freeway, right? We're not perfect. We get sick because we live in these weak flesh bags that suffer from sin and sickness and death. And it all comes down to sin. We live in a broken world. So that's the big reason why these things happen. So not everything happens for a reason, but every single time, God brings reason to everything that happens. He does not let things go to waste. When hard times come, he uses it to mature us in our faith, which then we grow our trust in him. And he allows us to use our hardships to help others and administer to others as well who are now going through it, what we've been through before. He does so many things and teaches us so many things in these hard times. And those are the things where we're thankful for. That's what we're grateful for. God, you've made me more like you through this. So God doesn't create evil, but he uses what was meant for evil for his good and for his glory. I've got this couple in my church that I've known for a long time, and I love them. She's about this tall, and he's about this tall. I'm equally afraid of both of them. They're just mighty people. Big Dan, that guy is one of the strongest men, and he's in his 60s, and he's one of the strongest men I've ever met. I'm convinced every time I shake his hand right before he's going to break it. He's going to shatter every bone. He's just so strong. They have been through almost, I would say, from my human perspective, an unreasonable amount of hardship in their life. They have lost loved ones in crazy ways. A nephew sinking an axe in the garage into an uncle's head. They have lost through countless types of sickness and illness loved ones. They've been through fire. They've been through bankruptcy. They've been through all these things. And every time I've spoken to this family, they've had joy. And they've had a smile on their face. And they're praising God the whole time. And one day I asked Dan and Judy, I said, you know what, I'm a pastor. I don't think I can do what you're doing. I don't think I could do it. I would think I would fail. How do you give thanks and glory to God in times like these? And so much of it for the last 10 years that I've known you, it's been nonstop. You guys want to know what Dan told me? He said, you didn't know me before I was a believer. He says, if you and I got in a bar fight over something stupid, I may have killed you. And he says, so I know what I've been saved from. I know the hope that I have. And I've never been absent from that in any of this. So who am I to not thank God and praise him, no matter what comes my way? Because I have an eternal life. I got a God who loves me and has brought me from being that guy who would have drilled your head into the bar to a guy who now just wants to embrace you with the love of Jesus. That conversation changed me. But most of all, like Dan said, we're to be thankful for our gift of salvation through God's Son, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Man, we use words all the time to describe salvation and the love of God and what we receive, but truly, there isn't a word big enough to truly describe it, is there? We don't have one in our vocabulary. We've been transformed by the Holy Spirit through the blood of the cross. We carry the most valuable treasure within us in the world, the gospel of Jesus. We have the gift of eternal life, and we get to have a personal relationship with our Savior for which the world was created for and by. Dare we ask more? Dare we say we don't get enough? The love of God is never absent from us, never separated from us. Death nor life, heights, widths, nothing. The love of God is always there. We get to pray to a listening God and a responsive God anytime we want. I can't get in to see the President of the United States. I can't even get in to see the Mayor of Little Kingsbury. But I can talk to the Holy Creator God anytime I want, and he's listening. He desires it. He wants fellowship with us. The gospel and everything that goes with the gospel, the only appropriate response to it is a life that is lived out as an expression of gratitude, of thankfulness. That's the only appropriate posture before God. Thankful without ceasing. Because then when we do that, we don't have a choice. We're truly thankful. That leads to a life of worship. That we are worshiping him day in and day out. And not just when we're singing, right? That's worship through song. There's worship in our hearts consistently declaring that nothing is greater than him. There's worship in our actions. There's worship in our thoughts. Worship in his reading his word. Our prayer life, it's all our whole life is to be an act of worship. And we can't do that without gratitude. Can I get an amen? Amen. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. It's the best thing ever. Our hearts, our mouths, our actions, everything, gratitude. So here's how we're going to end this weekend. You guys ready for this? I'm going to have you guys stand up. I'm going to have you guys get together with three other guys, four other guys, five other guys. I'd say no bigger than a group of 10 maybe. Just go ahead and break up into your groups. Be guys you don't even know. Maybe you guys shouldn't know. So go ahead and grab a few guys around you. And we're going to pray. And Brent's going to be strumming in the back, and then he's going to close us out in a worship song. We're done. But listen up. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a topic. And as I give you that topic, I want you just audibly in your group, take turns or go all at once, however you want to do it, and just give thanks to God for things that are in that part of our life. You guys ready for this? And just, man, exhaust it. Exhaust it. Because, boy, whew, what glory that will give God, right? So here we go. We're going to start off with, let's just thank God for the work he's done this weekend. Let's start with that, all right? Go ahead and go, guys.